Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Flat File Adapter version 7.5, what's new? Today's presenters are Sir Manian Kashnan and Rafikiran Akidi. Sabu is a software developer with 8 years of industry experience in different companies and domains. He has worked for CDOT, Motorola, and CSC before joining IBM and has software development experience in the telecommunications, mobile applications, and payment domain. His current responsibilities at the IBM India Software Labs include development and support for ECM and flat file adapters. Rafikiran is a system software engineer working with the WebSphere Adapters team. He has around 4 years of IT experience and is involved in the development of IBM's prestigious products, WebSphere Adapters and WebSphere Application Server. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Subbu and Rafikiran.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everybody. My name is Subramanian, and I like to be called Subbu, and I heartily welcome you to this seminar on Flat File Adapters version 7.5, what is new. Today, I and my colleague Rafikiran will be taking you through the new features delivered in the 7.5 release of the Flat File Adapter. I request you to kindly make a note of our business email IDs shown in the very first slide. You are most welcome to send your queries regarding the material we are going to present to you today. So these email IDs, and we'll be very happy to answer them for you. And as Joseph has mentioned, there will also be a live Q&A session at the end of this seminar. And you could use that time as well to get your queries answered. Joseph, can we move on to slide number 2, please? Thank you. So here's the agenda for today. So we proceed in this fashion. I start by giving you a very brief overview of the new features that have been introduced in version 7.5 of the Flat File Adapter. Then we'll take each of these features in detail and try to understand how it's been designed and what is the business utility of each of these features. For each of these features, we'll also have a look at what was the behavior in the previous versions of the adapter, so that we can clearly understand and perceive the difference between the past versions and the version 7.5 of the adapter. After we are done with the detailed walkthrough of all the features, we will again do a quick recap of these features, and that will end the technical content of what we want to share with you today. After this, we'll be providing you some additional resources which you can use, and at the very end we'll have the question and answer session. So that will be our agenda for the day. Joseph, could you please move on to slide 3? Thank you. So here's an overview of the new features that have gone into 7.5 version of the adapter. Number 1, the flat file adapter can now be run in active mode during the inbound operation. Number 2, the adapter can now handle large size files when splitting is enabled. Number 3, there's a considerable improvement in the time taken for the first polling cycle in case of large files being processed. Number 4, the cyclic mode of operation now doesn't need persistence of processed events. Number 5, there's an improvement in the way the sequence file is used for generating unique file names. And there are some more features that I will be taking you through towards the end of this presentation. Having said that, let's now move on to slide number 4. High availability in active mode. So So this is one of the very first and one of the very important features that has been supported, that has been implemented in the version 7.5 of the adapter. So what does active-active mode of operation in inbound mean? High availability active-active support enables all the instances deployed in a clustered environment to be active, and each instance is allowed to process the events independently. The keyword to be noted here is all instances of the adapter deployed in a clustered environment are now allowed to be active at the same time and process events. So does it mean this was not so in the previous versions? That's right. In the previous versions, what was supported was the failover availability during inbound event processing. This mode of operation is also known as active passive support or active passive configuration. So till version 7.5, what was supported for inbound operation is the active passive mode. Now, what does an active passive configuration mean? In active passive configuration, only one of the many available instances of the adapter in the clustered environment are kept active. So I repeat, there is only one instance of the adapter which is active at any given point in time when it is operating in the active passive mode, which was the only mode supported till version 7.5. So what happens is, if this only single version of adapter which is active, if it goes down for some reason, then and only in that case, one of the remaining passive instances is made active. So therefore, the active-passive configuration works in a singleton-like pattern. At any given point in time, only one instance is allowed to be active and process events. So that was the active-passive mode, which was the only mode supported till version 7.5. So in version 7.5, we now support active-active mode, which means all the available instances can be active at the same time, and this allows for a continuous availability. The reason for that is, whereas in active passive, the passive instance has to be made active when the active instance goes down, in the case of active-active support, all instances are already active. So even if one instance goes down, there are other instances which are already active and processing the events. So thereby it ensures a continuous availability. Now you may be thinking, does activating all instances at the same time lead to multiple times processing of the same event? Or said in other words, does it lead to duplicate processing of the events? The answer is no. High availability active-active support enables distribution of events to be processed between the available instances, ensuring that no duplicate events are being delivered to the endpoint. The design takes care that even though multiple instances may be active, there is no duplicate delivery happening anywhere. So what is this new design that we have implemented in version 7.5? To see that, let's move on to slide number 5. Before we can actually fully understand and appreciate the active-active design, it will help us to first take a quick look at what was there in the active-passive design, or in the design which was used till version 7.5. So this slide pictorially shows you how the active-passive mode, how the adapter works in the active-passive mode. So we see the steps, the ordered steps that the adapter goes through for processing events in the active-passive mode. First, the adapter instance pulls the event directory for the event file. Once it has done that, it processes these files one by one, and for each of these files, it gets the events from the event file based on the split criteria specified and these events are stored or put into the event table. Then, the adapter instance retrieves or starts retrieving events from this event table based on the pole quantity that is configured. Retrieving these events, the adapter instance delivers them to the configured endpoint, and after having done that, it archives the event files. So in a nutshell, that is how the active-passive mode functions. So I'll just quickly recap the steps again. One, poll the event directory for the event files. Two, for each of the event files, fetch the events based on the split criteria and create these events into the event table. Step three, from the event table, retrieve the events, process them and deliver them to the endpoint based on the pole quantity configured. And after having processed the events, archive the event file. So that is the step that is followed in till version 7.5 of the adapter, and also known as the active passive mode of functioning. Now that we have some understanding of how it behaves in the past versions, now let's move on to slide 6 to see what happens in active-active mode. High availability in active-active mode. So I said we have implemented a new design, and the new design has both a new algorithm as well as new data structures implemented. So first let's look at what is the new algorithm or the new steps that are done. First, the adapter instance polls the event directory for files. There's nothing new here. This was the step in the previous versions also. But step two, if you notice, it says record an entry for each file into the file table. So this is a brand new step, because in the past versions we never had anything called the file table. So the file table is one of the new data structures that has been introduced in version 7.5 of the adapter. So step two is record an entry for each event file into the file table. Step three, from the file table, fetch an event file for processing. This again is a new step, because file table is a new introduction in 7.5. Step 4, process the event file based on split criteria and the pole quantity to get the events and put them into the event table. Step 5, retrieve events from the event table based on pole quantity, deliver the events to the endpoint, and archive the processed event file. So this is the new set of steps and data structure that's been introduced in version 7.5. So again, I'll do a very quick recap of the steps. Pull the event directory for the event file. Step 2, create a file table entry for each of the event files. Retrieve an event file from the file table. From the event file, fetch the events based on split criteria and based on the pole quantity and store them into the event table. Retrieve events from the event table and deliver them to the endpoint. Archive the event files after having processed them. So these are the new set of steps in version 7.5. So now let's move on to the next slide. So in the previous slide I had mentioned that we have introduced a brand new table called the file table in the design in version 7.5. So it will help us to try to understand what are the fields of this new event, newly introduced file table. So the slide shows you the schema for the newly introduced file table. The very first field represents the file name to be processed. So it's nothing but the name of the event file that's been pulled from the event directory. That's the very first field. The field 2 shows the current state of processing of the event file. So there are 6 possible states that the event file can be at any given point. A 0 is the unprocessed state, which means it's a new file entry and the adapter has just now pulled and created an entry for this particular event file, and it needs to start processing this event file. The status 1 means the event file is currently in process, which means the adapter instance is right now busy reading into this event file and creating the pole quantity number of events into the event table. So when the status of the file table entry is 1 or in process, It means no other adapter instance is supposed to touch this file because there's already an instance which is working on this particular record. A status of 2 means events from this particular event file have been updated into the event table, which means now the instances, active adapter instances, can go and fetch events from the event table and start delivering them to the endpoint. So that is status 2, which is events updated. Status 3 means the event file has been completely processed. In other words, the adapter has seen the end of file for this particular event file, and there's nothing else which remains in this event file to be processed. There is another mode of operation for the adapter called the cyclic mode, in which it's allowed to add events to the event file on the fly. So in the cyclic mode of operation, we never think that we are done with the event file. So we always expect that even after I'm done processing this file, at a later point in time, there could be more events that get appended to this file. So for the cyclic mode of operation, we never change the status to 3 or process. We always retain the status as 2 because we expect that sometime in future, some more events might get added to the event file. But that's only applicable for the cyclic mode of operation. For the regular mode of operation, once we are done reading the file, we change the status to 3, which means it's been processed completely. A status of 4 means there is some failure which has happened, and it could be any kind of failure, maybe a failure to read the file, some permission related issues, or some unexpected error. Or it could even be that the file was corrupted or invalid. A status of 5 means currently the file is being archived, which means it's been moved from the event folder to the archive folder. Again, like in status 1, no other instances allowed to update this entry when the status is 5, because it means one instance is already working on this particular file table entry. So that was about the status field. The next field is called last BO count. So this field represents how many BOs or events have been read till now from this particular file. So it represents the number of BOs that have been read from this file till this point in time, and for which we have already created events into the event table. The next field is last file pointer. This field will mark the position in the file till where the adapter has processed the events. When I say process the events, I mean till which point in file I have read the events and created entries into the event table. So in other words, this is the last read position in the file for the adapter. The next field is the timestamp field, which represents the timestamp when the file is picked up for reading by any of the instances of the adapter. We have an additional field which currently we don't use, called the file handler field. For all practical purposes, we can ignore this field for now because it's not used. It's only for future extension purposes. So if I were to summarize the whole file table in one sentence, I would say, in essence, the file table entries store the current state of processing for any event file. As we'll see later, having a file table and file table entries in place gives us immense flexibility and power as to how to deal with the events and the event files. And that is the exact flexibility of the power that has got introduced in version 7.5 of the adapter. Things which we were not able to do before or till the version 7.4 is now possible because of this newly introduced file table. So now that we have seen the different fields of file table, let's move on to the next slide. Changes to the event table. So I said that we have introduced a new table called the file table, but we have also done a few changes to the existing table known as the event table. Basically, we have added a few more fields into the event table, and there is a slight change in the content that goes into a particular field of this event table. So let's go over these changes one by one. The event ID. Till version 7.5, the event ID used to be comprised of a combination of the file name, the timestamp, the BO count, and the total number of BOs in a file. So basically, these four values put together used to be the event ID before version 7.5. But if you see here, now there are only three entries that go into the event ID. So event ID now comprises of the file name, the timestamp, and the BO count. So the total BO count field, which was included in the event ID before, is not done anymore from version 7.5 onwards. The next field is the status field. Status of 0 means an event is not yet processed. Status 0 with transaction ID means this is an event which is currently in process. A status 1 means the event has already been processed. And a status of minus 1 means there was a failure in the event delivery. A newly introduced field in the event table is BO start position and the BO end position. Basically, these two fields store the location in the file where this particular event BO starts and ends. So the purpose of this is to facilitate fetching the content for this particular BO from the event file when the event has to be delivered to the endpoint. So the event table now stores the start and end position of the event BO. And the last field is timestamp, which represents when the events are picked up from processing. Having said that, we have looked at the new fields that are introduced into event table. So now let's move on to the next slide, which is slide number 9. Processing multiple files with multiple instances of the adapter. So far we have seen a good deal of theory about the design. So maybe it's a good time to look at some concrete examples to try and understand how this design works in practice. So here we have a scenario in which there are multiple event files in the event folder, and there are also multiple instances of the adapter which are actively running and trying to process these event files and events. So if you see the current snapshot, you see two purple colored tables. The one on the top is the event table, whereas the one in the bottom is the file table. On the left, you see the two instances of adapters which are trying to process these events. And at the very bottom right corner, you see the event files that are there in the event table. So what does this current snapshot show? We see in the snapshot that there have been entries created for both the event files into the event table. So there is one entry created for a1.txt, one of the event files, and there's also an entry created for the other event file, which is a2.txt. After the entries have been created for the file table, the adapter instances will create events from these event files into the event table. So if you see the event table on top, you can see one event created for an event from the a1.txt event file, and that particular event is a1.txt_1, and you also see an event which has got created for an event from the other event file, which is a2.txt. So we are able to see two events. One is a1.txt_1 and the other one is a2.txt_1, and both the adapter instances could be processing one of these events, and parallelly they could process the events. Also note that the files are not yet fully processed. If you carefully look at the file table entries, you'll see that the status is 2 and the last BO count for both of these entries is 10, which means only 10 events from these two event files have been created into the event table, whereas there are 20 events in each of these event files. So the file table entries keep track or keep a record of how much of the event file has been processed till this point in time. And that track it keeps in terms of the number of BOs that have been read and also in terms of the file position of the last read BO. So the entry which is shown as 100 or the last file pointer is the position in the event file till where the adapter instances have read the events. So since it's not yet read all the 20 BOs, that's why the status is still 2 and not 3, which means it's completely processed. It's also important to note that the exact processing pattern may vary from run to run. For example, in the shown scenario, it from the same event file before the events are created for the second event file. So in one particular run, it could be possible that all events, all the 20 events from a1.txt are created into the event table, and the adapter instances complete processing all the events of a1.txt before they move on to a2.txt for processing. So then that's one possibility. Or it could have also been possible that one instance is busy reading the event file and creating events into the event table, whereas another instance is busy taking the events from the event table and delivering them to the endpoint. So since all the adapters are running parallelly or running actively at the same time, the exact sequence of operations is not always deterministic. It may vary from run to run. But what I'm assured that all the events will be delivered and there will be no duplicate delivery that's happening. So that is what is ensured. Having said that, now let's move on to the next slide, which is slide 10. Here we see an example in which a single event file is being processed by multiple instances of the adapter. So that since there is only one event file, which is a1.txt, we only see one entry in the file table for it. In this case, the file is read, the events are created into the event table, and the created events can be picked up by either the same instance or by the other instances for processing or for delivery to the endpoint. Please notice that in this case, since there is only one event file, all the events shown in the event table are from the same event file. So we have an a1.txt_11, we have an a1.txt_12, and so on and so forth. So to be able to appreciate the utility of an active-active configuration, imagine a scenario in which there is a very large file that is being processed by multiple instances of the adapter. In this case, we can have a true parallel processing, because in this case, one instance can be busy reading from the event file and creating events into the event table, whereas all the other instances could busy themselves by taking events from the event table and delivering them to the endpoint. So together, they can achieve to complete the same amount of work in a shorter duration of time because they are operating in a parallel mode. So now let's move on to slide 11. If you're convinced by now that active-active mode of processing is a cool feature to have, then a question in your mind could be that how to have this feature enabled for you. So here we take you through the settings that are required to enable the feature. The first part is about the event persistence settings. So for active-active mode of operation, we need to set the type of delivery to unordered. In a short while, I'll come back to this point to tell you why this is required. But we need to remember that we need to set type of delivery to unordered. We need to specify a valid event table name. In this case, it's FF table. We need to specify a valid file table name. In this example, it is FF_file table. We need to specify a valid timeout period. And we need to specify no sort as the file retrieval option, or we have to specify that the files have to be, files need not be sorted during retrieval. Why do we need ordered and why do we need non-ordering and non-sorting of files? We need that because ordered delivery and sorting of the files doesn't go well with the parallel mode of processing of the events by multiple instances of adapters and active-active mode. So as I had talked about in the previous example slide, in active-active mode, all the instances of the adapter are active and parallelly processing the events from the event file. So to achieve maximum efficiency, we want that we have no restriction of delivering the events in order. Because if there's a restriction on us to deliver the events in order and for us to deliver the events from the files in sequence by sorting, then we end up operating in a sequential like fashion where we strictly follow the same order to deliver the events. So if we do this setting, there's no advantage achieved by multiple adapters processing the events at the same time. Therefore, for efficiency, efficiency, maximum efficiency, we want that unordered and no sort is configured. We also saw another setting called the timeout value. So this timeout value denotes the time for which an instance will wait for another instance to process an event. If only this interval is exceeded, then it is assumed that the original instance has not been able to process the event, and therefore the event can be picked up by a different instance for processing. So this is a safety net kind of a mechanism in which, think of a scenario where one instance started processing a particular event, but for some reason hung or and was not able to complete processing the event. So in this case, a timeout will happen, and then automatically one of the other instances will realize that the timeout period has been exceeded, and it will pick up the same event and do the delivery. But if the original instance were active, then it would have completed delivery of this event in the given time interval. So, but there's also a catch to this value, that we need to configure this value appropriately so that we give sufficient time for an adapter instance to process the event. Because if we do an inappropriate setting, then there could be contention which will result in which multiple instances will think that no one else is processing this event, and therefore try to deliver the same event. So now, let's move on to slide number 12 to see some of the other configurations that we need to do. So here is the enable HA support property. To enable active support, we need to set the enable HA support to a value false. So it might sound like a misnomer, but that's the fact, that to enable active support, we have to make the setting to false. The default value for enable HA support is true, which means it will operate in the active-passive mode. It was only mode supported till version 7.5. But from 7.5 and onwards, we support both active-passive and active-active. And to get active-active mode of processing, we have to set this entry to false. So these are some of the key settings that we need to do to get the adapter working in an active-active mode. Now, let's move on to the next slide, which is slide 13. Migration and backward compatibility support. At this point, a question that you may be having is, I'm a user of version 7.0 or a prior version to that, and now I want to make use, or I want to now move to version 7.5. So how do I migrate to this newer version of the adapter? To answer this, let's look at three possible scenarios. In one scenario, the customer doesn't want to change anything other than the RAR. So all that the customer wants in this scenario is that their application works as if on 7.5 version of WPS using the 7.5 version of the flash cell adapter. So in this case, all that is needed is a backward compatibility support. So we do support the older activation spec instance for this scenario. The runtime will take a different code path to support the same processing. The adapter behaves as if it was an older version of the adapter. None of the newer features of the adapters are available if this is the scenario that the customer wants to use it in. And then only replacing the old RAR with a new RAR. Another scenario, and a more interesting scenario, would be when the customer wants to migrate to the new version of the adapter and also migrate their existing event store table along with its data so that they can make full use of the newer features of the adapter. So let's move on to slide 14. To support this scenario, we have migration scripts in place which can take care of migrating existing data from the old event store table to the new event store table and also create the new file table. But a point to be noted here is that only the failed events from the event table are migrated into the newly created event table, not live events. So customer has to ensure that there are no live events at the time of migration. Only after all the events have been processed should migration be attempted. Another scenario could be that the customer tries to use the new version of the adapter along with new activation specs but does not migrate the event table structure. If this is attempted, the runtime will not allow this to happen because it checks if there is an event table existing and also whether the event table complies with the new design, as in does it complies with the new schema which has the newer fields introduced. If not, the runtime exception is thrown requesting the users to first migrate their tables using the IBM provided scripts and then try to run their application. So that was about the three possible scenarios that the customer would want to try out. Having said that, let's move on to the next slide. And at this point in time, I would like to hand control over to my colleague Ravi Kiran, who will take us through the other features of version 7.5 of the Flagfell adapter. So over to you, Ravi.
Yeah. Thank you, Subbu. Very good morning to all. This is Ravi Kiran. Let me take you through the rest of the exciting enhancements we have in VE 7.5. I'm at slide 15. First of all, let me explain you more about the version 7. In previous versions, whenever Hadoop is asked to process a file, it reads the complete file in the first poll cycle, creates the BOs in the format of N by M, writes them onto the event table, then the actual process of delivering the poll quantity demanded BOs to the endpoint starts. But in VE 7.5, the adapter doesn't read the whole file. It only reads the first asked poll quantity number of events of the file and stores them onto the event table. Then it delivers them to the endpoint and deletes the events from the table. In the subsequent poll cycle, it processes and delivers next poll quantity amount of BOs and so on till the whole file is processed. The file table here plays the key role. It stores last BO count and also last file pointer, which makes the adapter to know where the processing has been done and from where the poll cycle should be started in processing. So with this data, we can say that VE 7.5 eliminates the need for reading the complete file at one go in the first poll cycle. And also, it eliminates any file size limitations and also reduces memory footprints used considerably when dealing with large files, as we just dealing with one by one poll quantity per cycle instead of reading whole file and storing events all at once in table. As the time taken by the first cycle is consistent with the subsequent polling cycles, we achieve consistent performance when the large file is dealt with. Moving on to the next slide. Slide number 16. Here, this is an example that explains the behavior we spoke in the last slide. The file being processed here is a1.txt. The upper table, which is event table, shows that adapter has processed 1/10th and 1/11th BO. As the status is 1, saying that it is processed, and the poll quantity is 100, it has already delivered the first 100 events in the first poll cycle, and currently it is in the second poll cycle where it is delivering from 100th BO to 200th BO. The table at the bottom is file table where the events for this poll cycle has already been created in the event table. So the status of the is 2, of the file is the 2. Last BO count is 200, as it is a second poll cycle, 100 to 200. So the last BO created is 200, and the file pointer to which it has read the file is also noted. Though there are 2 lakh BOs, we are not creating the whole event in a first poll cycle as compared to 7 or a previous version. Here we are only going by one poll quantity by the other. Moving on to the slide 17. Event table optimization in cyclic mode. What is cyclic mode? Cyclic mode is where the file will not be moved out of event directory even after all events been delivered, but the same file will be pulled again and again for any update instead of creating a new event. This file will always get appended on fly, and the adapter will pick up the updated part and deliver to the endpoint. Previously, we used to persist the events in the event directory for cyclic mode even after delivering them to the endpoint to actually differentiate the processed BOs and new events being added for the file. But in V7.5, with the introduction of a file table, we can store the position of last processed event in the file. Therefore, the processed event can be purged from the event table. Let's move to the next enhancement at slide number 18. Improved sequence file generation. The sequence file feature is used for the generation of unique file name. Each time when an adapter creates a file, it appends the incremental number from the sequence file for the actual file name to be created. Like if you are trying to create a file called a.txt, subsequent creations will make the file a.1.txt, a.2.txt, and so on. It was observed that when the same sequence file was used to generate file across multiple adapter instances under heavy load, sometimes duplicate file generation was observed in previous things. Now in 7.5, with a consistent encoding being used to read and write the sequence file, even under high load conditions, there is no duplicate file generation observed. Moving on to the slide number 19. These are the other improvements we have in version 7.5. In previous versions, when a adapter get hung or suddenly it got destroyed, at that point of time, if the adapter is performing file pass by reference operation, it used to not store any status of the process. Whenever the adapter comes back, it used to start from the first, the whole process. But in version 7.5, with file table, we store the status of each file, thereby adapter knows which files are yet to be processed and which process have already been, which events have already been processed. Earlier, also we used to create a .fail file in the archive directory for all the failed BWOS only for the split by a delimiter processing. Currently, 7.5 supports archiving of failed chunks for split by size and also split by delimiter during inbound. Also, the documentation for pertaining to cyclic mode operation is being improved. Moving on to slide 20. A quick summary. We have went through an overview of new features in 7.5 initially. Later, a detailed walkthrough of the features like active-active processing in inbound, support for large file processing, improved performance in the event delivery for large files, event table optimization in cyclic mode, improved sequence file generation, and other improvements. We also understood the benefits of new features, important configuration steps that are needed for these enhancements, changes in the event table and file table. And you have also came to know the migration scenarios pertaining to 7.5. With that, we come to the end of the seminar. I would like to thank you for attending this seminar and also listening to us patiently. I would now like to hand over the control back to Joseph. Thanks, Joseph. It's up to you.
Thank you, Sipu and Raki Hiran, for a wonderful presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Rahul Agarwal, your line is open.
Yeah, I have one question. In the Slack file adapter, when we mean say if in clustering, in the cluster environment, if suppose we say that we have inbound adapter and outbound adapter and both are active situation, so means how we handle that? Suppose there is one file, a very large file, and having 1,000 records, and we have to pull it. So if suppose one adapter is started pulling that particular file, so means and my pulling quantity is 100 in that particular situation. So that second means another adapter in that particular cluster will also pull that particular file or it won't? First question. Did you get my question?
Yeah, I think I understood your question. So when you say pull, there are quite a few steps involved here. One is to fetch the event file from the event directory.
Yes.
So, and in the new design, what will happen is once any of the instances has picked up a file,
okay,
immediately what it will do is it will create an entry into the event into the file table. And this file table is the new table which we have introduced. So only even if multiple instances try to do it, only one will succeed. So only one file table entry will get created for that particular event file. Okay.
So do you want to say that key current in current if we are working on 6.2 or 7.0, this is not so this facility is not available and this may cause issues.
Absolutely. So this is not at all supported. So active is not supported in version 7.0 or prior versions. If you try to do that, what you'll end up seeing a duplicate delivery of events because there's no mechanism to keep track of the files using a file table in past versions. So that's why we say that in version 7.5, we only support active-passive mode, which means only one instance can be active at any given point.
That's it. And same thing for outbound also means if you're trying to write file.
Has been active and continues to be active. So because see, what happens is outbound is already inherent in nature. So if you're trying to create like one application is, if you're doing one create operation and one append operation or one update operation to different file, both can happen parallelly. So outbound by design is already active. active in both transfer and in past versions also. So there's no change to outbound vis-a-vis the active-active configuration.
Oh, so what we done is one confirmation on outbound. If you are saying that you both mentioned even in this previous version it's active-active, outbound is active-active. When we say active-active, if both adapter is trying to write the write some data in the same file at the same time, they cannot write same data may get overlap or something, some file may get corrupted in that case. I'm not sure this is the issue we are facing here. So do we go ahead with active-active or we should go ahead with active-passive scenario in for outbound adapter?
First of all, the outbound, when you say active-active, that active-active is meant for scenarios when you want to do parallel processing on different set of files. So, let's say you want to create 1,000 files, so that 1,000 files can be created in parallel without tabling, without creating any problems at all.
Okay.
When you talk about only bulk, let's say you want to create an account to the same file, there is a locking mechanism implemented in this case to make sure that the requests are sequentialized. So first one append will complete, then the next append will be scheduled.
This locking mechanism is already implemented in previous version, or this is started from 7.5?
No. That's what I said. For outbound processing, there's no change in 7.5. Locking was there before, continues to be now.
Okay. Sorry, just one more question. That in case of event table, whenever we say event table by default means generally we don't create JNDI and the event table means any. Here we are not creating an event table. It's by default the time we are deploying adapter itself create in buffer memory and it keep that events in there. Generally we should we create event table manually and then we should pass the JNDI in activation spec, or we should keep on whatever way IBM is creating internally and we should process that way.
So one thing I have to clarify is your question is meant for 1.602 or for 7.5?
Yeah, means event table we should create, there are two ways. Means I got to know here, event table we can, either we should not create anything, it will automatically, means the time of deployment it will form, the time of processing that event table will form, and once that event will get processed, it will
I got this answer. My question is, do you want to know the answer for version 6.2 or for version 7.5? Because the answer is different. That's why I'm asking this question.
Your voice means there are a lot of disruption in your voice, so I'm not sure that what you're asking. It's really hard to.
Let me explain you.
Now it's okay. Now you can. I'm here to able to hear you correctly.
Yep. In version 6, if you select auto create the tables, it will create only the event table, as 6.2 only support event table.
Okay.
Okay. And at the time of deployment, you can select that field.
Okay.
As you said, you can also create the event table manually, and in our documentation, the columns that need to be there are also been provided. So you can select either of the options.
No, means what I should prefer. Question is here, I know that both options are available, but suppose we are working in production environment, and that time should we create it, or means we should go ahead with without creating an event table, and means whatever IBM is internally doing this, it's okay with that approach.
Okay. If in your JNDA or in your DB database, if the table is not defined, for the first time if you're running your application, then we would recommend you to ask adapter to create the event table.
Okay.
Okay. And if there is an already table created in there, and if you want to add something, then you need to go to the database and you need to add something like that. I mean, we always recommend adapter creation of the
Event table. Okay. That was my question. The adapter should itself should create that event table, or we should create ourselves and then we should give that to the NDF that table, that database to the activation aspect. Okay, that's I got my answer, by the way. That's all. That's my question. Yeah.
Thanks, Rahul. Thanks for your question. Yeah.
And we have no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. I do see a question here in the group chat coming from Om, and the question is, if the file table and event table go out of sync, what has to be done?
The design, number first, the design ensures that they will not go out of sync, but if the caller can kind of give a specific scenario by what he or she means by going out of sync, probably we can answer the question better. But by design, we'll make sure that it doesn't go out of sync.
Thank you, Subbu. And it looks like we don't have anything else. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.